The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about faking. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower. Oh, listen, you can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them, too!
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now, please.
Not yet.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right. We are here at Gillette Stadium. It is Wednesday, media day, short week for the Patriots. And you know what? The shorter the better as far as I'm concerned, because I'm ready to get back out on that field. I know the players are. The coaches are ready. They have moved on from that debacle in Kansas City. Obviously, we haven't. We need to talk about it, and we're going to. It was disgusting, embarrassing, you name the adjective. It was terrible. But as far as the team and the players are, they are focused on Cincinnati as well they should be. And let me tell you something. Paul's here. Andy and Eric are in the locker room. They changed up all the times on us today because of the short week. So it'll be a very fluid show, guys coming in and out. But let me tell you something. As far as us fans go, we don't have to be in the business of being right. We don't have to, you know, make declarations and then
good thing for me this year.
Right. And then write our name to it and hope we're right, you know, in terms of our career. Our job is to be behind this team. Until we see definitive signs that they've given up, we shouldn't give up. And we need to be behind this team. I believe they've earned our respect, they've earned our trust, and they've earned the benefit of the doubt over the last 14 years. So I have not given up. I know a lot of people have. On the blog, it was, you know, I felt like a liberal at a CPAC convention. That's what I said. But I'll tell you, I haven't given up. A lot of people have. Fine, go ahead. Trade Brady. Get rid of Belichick. But I'm far from that. And I'm far from thinking that this game coming up on Sunday night is going to be another bloodbath. But I will say this, and I said this to Paul and Andy, and they asked me if I would say it on the radio. I will. How they play on Sunday night, I believe, is who this team is going to be for the rest of the season. Game five, you know, how they perform. I'm not saying they're going to win. I might even pick them to lose this game. But how they lose this game is going to be who they are for the rest of the season. It's going to be who they are. Cincinnati is a Super Bowl contending team. They're you know, one of the top four teams in the AFC. I might even take the Patriots out of that lump now. Top three teams. You got Denver, San Diego. You know, I put the Bengals right up there with those two, maybe two after Denver right now in the AFC. So this is it. This is who they are. The Patriots need to compete in this game. If they can't compete in this game, okay, then I have to rethink this season.
But so that's it.
What?
So one game will tell you.
Well, it's not one game. It's five.
No, but
games.
Your whole preamble was all about, I think that they've earned our respect. I think they've earned our
right.
and our backing and our faith over the last 14 years, which I don't really have anything
but
any
I have,
idea what the last 14 years have
right
to do
now,
with this year.
What I just said is I have to rethink the season.
But then if they go out and they don't play a good game, then
I have
forget
to,
about the faith that we have over the last 14 years. That was it. The tipping point was you could play four bad games, but you play five,
no,
that's it.
But I think that what happened, what they have to do from that point on is I have to rethink the season. I think they have to rethink the season in terms of they need to make some change. I'm not saying the season's over.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what it sounded like.
No, I'm not saying
sounded like that's what you were saying.
Until they're mathematically eliminated, the season's not over. But they have
they're not going to be mathematically eliminated as long as they're a member of the AFC East.
What I'm saying is if they get blown out again on Sunday night, then there has to be some major rethinking, not just me, but for the team. They have to say, okay, this is
– I think they've long since hit that point where they're rethinking a lot of stuff.
Well,
I think we're seeing that
but what are they
on a
doing?
Weekly basis.
Well, I don't
– I think we're seeing changes in personnel. We're seeing a lot of
– That's not rethinking.
Okay.
Of, you know, well, that
to me, it is.
They're trying to figure out who are the guys that are going to help them win.
Right.
I'm talking rethinking is maybe we don't have the guys.
Rethinking to me is I have one guy who started at guard one game and he's inactive the next.
Yeah,
that to me is rethinking things.
That's minor compared to what I'm talking
about.
You know,
you have wide receivers that you thought heading into the season that were going to be, you know, relevant parts. I won't say significant. I'll say relevant parts of the offense that are inactive together. I think that's rethinking things.
Well, yeah, but to me, they haven't proven to themselves, and I'm talking the coaches, that those receivers can help you. They haven't been given a chance. You know,
I agree.
You know, they haven't been given a chance.
That, to me, is rethinking things.
Well, no, to me, rethinking is a lot more major than what you're talking about.
But what do you what
reshuffling
do you
and trying to figure out who the guys are. I'm talking about, okay, we can't, you know, it's Andy's column. Want to and can't to.
But coaches might think that in their minds. They're never going to say it.
No, I'm not telling, but their actions will say it.
No, they won't.
Well,
I mean, I think you're already seeing it. They're changing personnel, Fred.
Yeah.
They're not changing personnel because they don't know if Jordan Devey can play. They're changing personnel because they think he can't.
Well,
and they're changing it to someone else who they don't know about
yet.
Yeah,
forget about the offensive line. This is much more
deeper
than that.
We're seeing changes in personnel.
This is much deeper than that if they get blown out. This isn't just the offensive line. This is, you know, but I'm telling you right now, they're not going to get blown out on Sunday night.
Okay.
You know, this team has not given up. You know, I can't believe that.
They gave up Monday.
I can't believe in one season they've gone from, you know, perennial competitor to now a doormat.
Oh, they're not a. Who said they're 2-2? Why does that make them a doormat?
No, but
they're not the Raiders. They're not the Jaguars.
If you start getting blown out every week, you're a doormat.
Well, I don't think anybody expects them to get blown out every week.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone expected them to get blown out last week. The point differential to me is not the most important thing.
It's how they play.
Yeah, and I don't think they've played very well for four games. They're 2-2 in them.
Right.
You know, they played one reasonably good game out of the four, and. Oh, by the way, that team had to deal with losing its best player 2 days before the game.
Sure. And like I said, what I learned from Sunday could be that beating the Raiders 16-9 at home isn't much better than losing to Kansas City 41-14 on the road. You know, basically now we're starting.
That's why I'm not going to be overly wrapped up in the, you know, if the Bengals come in and win 17-16, I'm not going to say they lost, but they got it figured out. No, they got to find out how to beat teams.
Teams
with comparable talent.
But we can at least say, okay, they're not that bad. I mean, right now, if you listen to what's going on, I mean, people really do think that they suck. They're gone. It's over.
I think that
are you not
that,
listening to what's
no,
going
I,
on?
No, I'm absolutely hearing it, and I agree with you. And one of the rare times I think that when you're talking about everybody thinks the sky is falling. Everybody thinks the sky is falling right
and
now.
I don't necessarily blame them.
But I don't think it's necessarily they think this is a bad football team that's not capable of making the playoffs. The sky is falling in terms of they're not who they thought we thought they were. They're not a Super Bowl contender.
I think it's both, Paul.
Fred, nobody thinks they're not going to win a pathetic AFC East. I've heard people say that even if they go 7-9, they'll win the AFC East.
Okay, but
I've heard people say that the last 2 days.
But
Andy Hart has said that many times.
But let's face it, 7-9 is the sky is falling.
But you're going to be the four seed if that happens. So when people say that they're a doormat, you're not a doormat if you're the four seed. No one thinks they're a doormat. No one thinks they're the Jaguars or the Raiders.
It would be a precipitous drop from where they were.
Right.
And do you believe that they've made that drop?
Through four games, yes.
But
they're precipitous.
By the end of the season, will that continue? Will they have dropped to that.
I don't know why we have to make these dramatic declarations. Like you asked me last week if I think the defense is any good, and I said, okay, if I have to predict what I think is going to happen, no, I don't think they're that good.
Right.
But I don't know why I can't evaluate as I'm watching.
But
if you're asking
me, anyone can tell you that they're not playing.
What are my choices? No, you couldn't tell me that last week.
I said they haven't been playing well.
The defense?
But I said I think that by the end of the season we'll think that it's
really
good.
You said that the defense played well.
No, I did. Defensively, I think they had played well, but I was wrong.
Okay, but now what are my choices?
Did everyone hear that? Did you hear that?
I heard it.
Okay.
Do you hear me argue with you back?
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure.
I just want to make sure
10 minutes from now you're not saying, well, you still think the defense is good.
I don't know how many times I can say this. I was wrong. It's
right.
Very easy.
Right.
The truth will set you free.
Yeah.
If you just admit when you're wrong, it's very easy. We can move right past.
But it's not easy when the person you're talking to doesn't listen.
I listen to you. And
right.
What did I do? I moved right on.
I just want to make sure.
Did I torture you about it?
I just want to make sure.
Just like you don't torture me about it when I'm wrong about stuff.
Right.
Well, on the air anyway. Off the air. Off the air you do. But that's okay. You know, and listen, we both – and you can't be in this business when you're trying to evaluate and observe and take a look ahead at what's going to happen. You can't do that without putting yourself out there and being wrong sometimes.
Absolutely.
The problem is when you're wrong, you just won't admit it. And I don't mean you. I mean the royal you. I mean, you know, the larger you. It's very easy to sit there and say, yeah, but. And I said to you last week, I won't say that.
Right.
I won't say, yeah, but.
And I'm not
if
either.
If I think the defense played well, I'll say it. And I'll say I was wrong. And I'm not closing the door on the 2014 defense either, Fred. They played badly the other night. I'm not saying that that's what this is going to be all year.
I think they gave up.
I think they gave up, too. That's where they didn't have a lot of fight the other
night. No.
They didn't have a lot of fight in the second half.
To me, that's the most disgusting, embarrassing
part. I'll tell you, you know what? The Kansas City Chiefs threw the ball, I think, 7 or maybe 9 times in the second half, and we still couldn't stop them.
Right.
That, to me, that's a little quit.
Yeah.
The offense was terrible. I'm not taking the offense off the hook, but the offense is dealing with some crap.
You know,
the defense isn't.
They started out okay, not terrible.
They were never good.
But
in that
game.
First drive of the game, Kansas City got like 3 first downs, and then Alex Smith kind of tripped over a guy and got sacked for an 8-yard loss, and that short circuited the first drive. That was it.
Specifically,
they punted 4 times
all
night.
I'm talking against the run, but like by the time they got to the second quarter, guys weren't even like getting close to the ball. It's like they'd go around the end and, you know, Chandler Jones would get wrapped up and there was no linebackers in sight.
Yeah, you're right. I wrote about this yesterday too. And
it was like they were just – it was either they were completely fooled on the play or they weren't hustling.
I like to chart
the defense's effort.
And I tell you all the time, I like to chart those what I call efficient runs. And the first two plays, that they stopped Charles for no gain and for 1 yard, okay? Then they got a first down throwing the ball. And this is what happened after that point. The first two runs were unsuccessful. The next run, 12 yards, then 3 yards, then 10 yards. Then they got the sack, so that he had to throw. So that's how they got the stop. The next drive, Jamal Charles, 17 yards. Jamal Charles, 3 yards. Nile Davis, 5 yards. Nile Davis, 3 yards. Then a pass, then a scramble, and then another pass, and then 2 yards up the middle for a touchdown. So, like, even in the first quarter, they weren't stopping the run.
Right. Yep.
They went on a stretch where the first two were unsuccessful runs for Kansas City. The next, I want to say, 16 out of 18 either resulted in 4-yard gains or a first down or a touchdown.
Efficient runs. Right.
Efficient runs.
Right.
That, I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's
it's effort.
A lot of stopping the run is effort.
Yeah.
And it would be one thing if they were having problems on the run, but they were playing a team like Denver, and you know you really were focusing on – they didn't stop the pass either.
Right.
Kelsey was wide open. Bo was wide open.
What, did they have 300 yards in the first half?
303 total yards, most in the Belichick era allowed in the half, in the first half.
I mean, I can't believe that's all because Silver Salinga was out of the game.
Right. You know, I'm sorry. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that.
Yeah.
And that's why when you asked me to start the first question, you know – do I think they're going to be 7-9? No, I don't think they'll be 7-9. But do I think they're going to be 12-4, which is what I picked them? No, I don't. I don't see 12 wins out of this team right now.
Well, I still do.
I'm
saying if they get blown out on Sunday night, I'm going to rethink that real hard, real hard.
Yeah, I mean, and it's hard because I do know that this team will get better. I know how well coached this team is. I know I have so much respect for Belichick and Brady. And listen, I don't want to beat them up. But Brady is part of the problem, and I've been saying this for 3 weeks. He's not played well.
But it's a mental thing, and he is part of the problem, but I'm saying it's mental with him.
I don't care why it is.
Yeah,
I know. Mental, physical, or somewhere in between. He's not playing well.
He's not playing well. I mean, it was evident in this game alone, you know, just the decisions that he was making. And you can say, well, it's because of the pressure and because he doesn't have people around him. I'm sorry.
Wow. We got an exasperated Fred 15 minutes into the
second
show.
Second and eight in the second quarter. I mean, things are still in, you know, not out of hand. Second and eight. He's got an easy first down to Gronk. I mean, the guy was wide open. You couldn't miss him. I even think Brady looked at him, and he chose to go down the field to Edelman around 15 yards, who was covered, had position, but the easy play, the open guy who we're told that he always goes to, was Gronk in the left flat, and he overlooked him and incomplete. He ended up punting. Bad decision. The play that everyone's talking about where he could have ran for the first down. Maybe he could have, but that was the play to take. I mean, that was the decision to make.
At the very least, if he doesn't get the first down there, he puts you in a fourth and inches
right,
kind of deal, and now you're better situated to go for it.
Even the second,
and they thought about going for it as it was.
The second play of the game. First play was a short pass to Vereen, okay? Second play, he goes downfield to Edelman, who flails around trying to get another flag. I'm glad he didn't, because that needs to stop. But if that was a call for McDaniels, shame on McDaniels. I don't think it was. I think the call came in, and Brady checked to that with a little hand signal to Edelman. Bad decision. Bad decision.
Yeah, and they're having a hard time making plays, and making plays of any kind, but in particular chunk plays. They're not getting any yardage, and you know, even the couple that they got in that game weren't big plays. You know, LaFell caught a short slant and broke a tackle and ended up going 44 yards for a touchdown.
But that's okay, because sometimes, you know.
No, I know, but you can't rely on that.
No, you can't rely on that, but that could have.
That easily could have been picked off, never mind a 44-yard touchdown. That was tightly covered.
That could have been a good call, because, you know, we see that they're pushing up. If he breaks this one tackle, he's got the whole field. You know, that counts,
too. But what I'm saying
too.
Is plays like – it does count, yeah, but yeah. I mean, it was also 27-0 at the time. But
right, that's true.
The plays are few and far between like that, and they're not getting any easy yardage because I think their offense is limited. They don't have – and I'm going to go back to the personnel decisions that made no sense to me. We talked about them the last half of the pregame with Andy and Mark. And to have three wide receivers active in an NFL game, and one of them is basically a carbon copy of Edelman and Amendola – I think you're going into a fight with one glove on and one glove off. I mean, I don't know how you can compete offensively with five running backs, and I know Bill bristled at the fact that we're labeling Devlin a running back, but I'm sorry, he's not a part of the passing game. You're really hurting yourself. And they wanted to run a bunch of screens and draws. I think it told everybody what you were going to do going into that game, and Kansas City, who has not played well defensively all year, had no problem stopping it.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah. So, yes, I agree 100%. Brady is part of the problem. And, you know, he would too, obviously, but you listen to him after the game. You listen to him this morning. He's actually having a press conference or just finished one up as we're speaking. It still, to me, sounds like he's not just focusing on himself. I think he's worried about everything going on around him. And somehow, maybe it's his guru, Alex, or somebody needs to get to him and say, you need to clear your brain. You need to clear your mind of all the stuff that's going on right now and start from scratch and pretend you're a rookie trying to earn a job and just do what the coaches tell you and forget about, you know, who's left and who's here and who's, you know, who's your favorite and who's not your favorite. He's got to clear his mind of all that. Because until he does, he's not going to improve, and hence the guys around him aren't going to improve. Now I'm not talking about the offensive line right now. I'm talking about his skill position players. He's got to empty his mind of all this stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah, but I think that's easier said than done, because don't know how much confidence he has in the guys around him.
No, now I will say, you know, everyone's making a big deal about what Dilfer and Steve Young said after the game, and your guy, Felger, connected some dots, and I guess that Brady had a, you know, a lengthy,
well, they showed it.
A lengthy pregame conversation with Dilfer before the game.
Yeah, we saw that.
You know, I saw them talking too. Obviously, when they're talking, you don't think of that. But then afterwards, when Dilfer comes out with such pointed comments,
right,
one can, you know, some, you know, think that maybe Brady fed him that. Maybe he.
Do you think there's a possibility of that?
Absolutely.
You think it's a pretty good possibility?
I'd say 65%. Yes.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this is when we talk about it, and we all did. And
but
this
that's
is not
Paul. I'm no, not. That's not good.
No. But what I'm saying to you, I was going to make a.
And by the way,
I was going to make a different point.
I just want that post game thing could be the they hate their coach moment for this team. I think they're using that this week.
I mean, I find it interesting the way everybody is grasping at straws like that, as opposed to we're just too good to play like this.
But we'll see.
Because I don't know if they're too good to play like this.
Yeah, I don't
know. That's my worry.
Right. No, I hear you. But I think this is they hate their coach moment.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought everybody said that after the first game. But we'll see. Yeah. You might be right. But the dot that I connected off of that, and you and I were in lockstep on this when it happened. When Kevin stopped our show back in the summer at the end of training camp and told us about the Logan Mankins trade, it was you and I, and I think Eric was still here. We were all stunned, and while we understood, you know, the long term, probably not a $6.25 million player anymore, and the cap number was high, we understood it. We understood it on paper.
Sure.
But we all agreed, this is a very respected guy, and this is the kind of guy, intangibly, that when taking out of a locker room, leaves a void.
Right.
And a lot of people sort of scoffed at us, and you were with us on this. This is not an argument.
Oh,
I'm not trying to start an argument with you.
Right.
You were with us on this. Sometimes
we question, what will that do?
Sometimes we overrate that stuff, and sometimes we don't. You never know how it's going to act. And I remember saying, listen, when Lawyer Malloy came out of that locker room was a mess, and it showed. And then they had their moment that you just talked about. When Richard Seymour left that locker room in 2009, it was a mess, and I think it was a mess throughout. They never replaced it.
Oh, yeah.
People were pissed.
Yep.
Veterans were pissed throughout the year, and that team went 10-7. They went 10-6 and lost their first playoff
game. And it wasn't just Seymour. That was part of it. But I think all season they had communication problems.
It was a festering.
It was on the field.
Unrest.
And it was in the locker room. I mean, the defensive backs were divided. Adelius Thomas had his people.
Then they had their thing with they were being late. And
right.
That was the locker room was a mess. I'm not saying it was all Seymour. But I think that got him off to a bad start. And then I think this year we've seen, again, maybe we won't know for another 3 or 4 years. Like, we didn't really know in 09. Like, I didn't go in that locker room every week in 09 and say, wow, this locker room's a mess. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was as bad as it was. But then you sort of, you look back, you remember things that are said. Oh, it's kind of like what you said. You saw Steve Young and Trent Dilfer talking to Brady, but you didn't really think about it until after.
Right.
You're like, I wonder. You don't always know immediately when something is significant. And that was a case where you didn't know.
And here,
you wonder what's going on right now.
And I'll back you up here, Paul, about the Mankins thing. We kind of, you know, wondered, what will this do? This could have a negative effect. We don't know. But we're not inside the locker room. We don't have the pulse of the team like Bill Belichick and the rest of the coaches should. And if it's, in fact, really hurt this locker room, then we can also come to the conclusion, well, then Belichick and the coaches didn't have the pulse that they
should have had. See, I don't think Belichick ever really,
you know, they
worries about that element of it.
But I disagree because, again, I'll go back to what I said a few weeks ago. Belichick learned from Parcells. And Parcells would say, you got to have your circle of the wagon guys. And Mankins was absolutely one of those guys. And, you know, when times are tough, he would, you know, pull people together. So Belichick had to know what effect it would have. And he underestimated it. I think if it comes out, like you said, 3 years later, we learn all this thing.
And I don't want to overestimate it
exactly.
Either. I'm just simply saying I think it might be part of this problem
but
here.
It's up to the coaches to know what effect these things will have.
How could you not be a human being if you were Tom and say, you know what, I'm getting my ass kicked here every other play. Jeez, I'd really like to have Mankins here instead of $6 million, or $10 million in cap space, whatever they saved, $6
million. Right.
You know, how could he not be human if he's not thinking like that?
And you know, one of the things that, you know, we have this team under a microscope like no other team, obviously.
We do.
But, you know, every quarterback loses, you know, every quarterback that stays with a team for a long time loses guys, gets new guys. I am kind of tired of every time somebody like Deion Branch leaves, we have to worry about what Tom Brady is going to do.
Well, all right, I'm gonna jump with you on. We'll move on to a different element. You know, we'll put some blame on Brady. Do you think if you're a guy like Aaron Dobson or Kembrell Tompkins or Danny Amendola,
right? What about me?
You know what? If I'm one of those guys, I'm sick and tired of getting blamed for every time the ball hits the ground.
Right, I'm working my ass off.
I'm doing everything right. I can. I'm at the meetings. I'm working hard in practice. I'm getting ready. I'm running my routes. Every time the ball is incomplete, it's my fault.
Right. And
right?
And Brady doesn't come out and say that, but as I said earlier on this show, he's still intimating that there's all this stuff. I want him to just come out and say, I need to play better. It stops and ends with me. And the end of it. That's what I want his players, his teammates to hear. I don't want to hear all this, like, insinuation and between the lines stuff.
So that's why I think
need to play better. End of conversation.
That's why I think this is sort of a deep issue. And again, I don't know for sure. I'm not privy to the meetings and the, you know, you can't talk to a guy in the locker room and think that that's really what's going on in the locker room. Okay. You got to know these guys away from the field. And we don't get that opportunity. So just as a quick, you know, for instance, you mentioned Vince as a guy, you know, he'd a rally around me kind of guy. Well, Vince asked to be released 5, 6, 7 months ago.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He wanted out.
Yep.
Then they redid the deal, put a bunch of stuff in incentives, kind of acrimonious. He was back. Maybe he ain't a rally around me kind of guy
anymore
after that.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Watch out, guys.
You know, then fast forward a couple more months, and you take a guy like Mankins and say, look what they did.
Yep.
Look what they did. Hey, Tom. See what they did? We're next. They right. already tried to do it to me. They're going to do it to you, too.
Well, they already did it to Tom, right?
No, they didn't cut him or anything.
No, I'm talking about salary, you know.
Let's pump the brakes on the pay cut stuff.
I know he didn't
Vince took a pay cut.
Right.
Tommy Kelly took a pay cut. Brady has restructured his contract.
He restructured his contract.
And getting a ton of money up front as a result.
If he stays, though.
No, he already got the money up front. Well, the only thing he'd lose is his base salaries now.
Right.
Going forward, not this year.
No, not this year.
The last 3 years are where he'll be underpaid.
Right.
And by the way, don't discount that as part of this equation.
Right. No, it's what
you're surrounding me with this crap, and then you're going to pay me $8 million average for the last three years of this deal? So I'm going to look like it's me that I lost it?
And listen, I don't blame Brady for thinking that, but he has to stop insinuating that. He had an opportunity this morning on Dennis and Callahan. They're talking about his play. How do you rate yourself? How do you grade yourself? And he immediately said, well, we haven't played well for a long time. Get the word we out of there when it's negative. Keep it I. We comes in when it's positive or when you're a coach.
Yeah.
Just focus on you when it's negative.
I don't think a lot of guys do that.
Well,
Drew did that to his defense. It was always I lost, we won.
Right.
With Drew.
Absolutely. I mean, Paul Brown said
unfortunately, it was I lost too many times.
When it's good, we did. When it's great, we did it. Oh, no. When it's bad, I did it.
Coach. When it's bad, I did it. When we win, it's they did it.
They did it. Right.
And Bill does that.
Yeah.
Bill always does that.
And Brady needs to do that, too.
Bill does it to me. I mean, maybe it's because I have a little animosity there. But Bill, to me, does it to me in such a disingenuous way that it comes across as crap.
If it's true, and again, we don't know, but if it's true that he's bearing his soul to Trent Dilfer before the game, he shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be doing that because that's
not good.
That's the type of background information that these guys love and will use on air. So if you think you're going to get what you want by doing that, it's going to be the opposite.
I think he got what he wanted by doing that.
No, but
I think that's what he wants.
But I think the ultimate thing he wants is to win. It's not going to help you win by doing that.
Well, see, but this is where you and I differ. You think it's about to turn the corner. You think that this is all about not playing well. I think it has as much to do with not being able to play well.
Well. They've played well with these guys before.
When?
Last year they played well.
Okay.
They got smoked against Denver.
I'm going to tell you again how flawed last year's team was and how easy the schedule was and how close they were to this last year.
Yeah.
Winning games on the last play of the game against Buffalo, Cleveland, New Orleans. I mean, they were a hair away from being in the same exact spot last year against far less competition.
Brian Morey said the same thing. Were you talking with him this morning?
He
came into my office and goes, now those close wins last year don't look so good.
Well, I mean, last year is still last year. Last year is still – I just sit there and say that this team has done a lot, the personnel on this team has done squat. Tom Brady and Vince Wilfork have been a part of a lot of wins. There aren't a lot of other guys that have.
Mm.
And I understand they went 12-4 last year. They didn't ultimately win a whole lot. They won a playoff game, right?
Right, against
the
Colts.
And listen, before I get attacked for that, I understand that we look at it in a higher level. There's plenty of teams. There's 20 teams in the league that would love to make the playoffs, win a game, and get bounced and be on their way. And we're getting better. San Diego was one of those teams, 9-7. They won a playoff game against Cincinnati, and then they lost. And I'm sure they were thrilled coming into the – they're on their way back up. They're building. The Patriots aren't. They were supposed to be a Super Bowl contender. Many people had them picked to win the Super Bowl, let alone get there. And now you rattled off three or four teams in the AFC that you think that are better than the Patriots right now.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
This is not where we're supposed to be.
All right. We got a lot of calls, a lot of emails. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 800-555-PATS or 855. What is that? I don't even know what it is.
855-PATS-500.
855-PATS-500. Does anyone actually use that number?
I think the majority of the people do.
Oh, do they? Well, maybe I should stop giving out the 508 number, right?
You can give out both of them.
855-PATS-500.
Yep.
Toll free. Not that anyone in the United States pays for long-distance calls anymore, but...
But it's just easier, it's on the way of the wing to remember 855-PATS-500.
Except if you're me. I have a trouble remembering things. All right. I'm going to go to some emails first.
Paul. Oh, I thought you were taking a break. Okay.
Oh, no. No breaks.
I wouldn't have gotten up and...
There's no breaks.
I went and got a water.
The food got pushed way back today.
Yeah, because the locker room got pushed up. Should say.
No, we're going to get right into it. Anything else you want to talk about? I mean, I still have a lot more to say, but...
But we have a lot more time to say.
We'll say it.
Let's let everybody in.
Yep. All right. Boy, there's so many things going on. Okay.
Pick one of them.
And the first one I pick is a fantasy football one. Garland writes in, I was lucky to be traveling on Monday night and missed most of the game. My wife taped the game and I watched it yesterday. Here are a few things I noticed. The Patriots were able to run the ball for most part when they did. The problem is they are not committed to the run. Offensive line actually looked decent and gave Brady decent protection. Solder has been horrible. He should be benched. How can they pass when they're only sending out two wide receivers? The 3-4 defense does not work for this team. This is the second game where they used it and got blown away. They need to play easily more. He was the only one not getting pushed around. Wilford got pushed around badly. And they need to get Browner out this week. Wilson and Ryan are not getting the job done, and they need the physicality of Browner. On a positive, LaFell finally showed us some talent.
I knew this was going to be a tough show because, quite frankly, they earned it. They played a terrible game. I disagree with pretty much every part of that email. There's one thing in particular. The protection was better. And then you say, how can they complete passes when they're only sending out two guys? Why do you think the protection was better?
Right.
What happened when they sent out more than two guys, Fred?
Yep.
The protection wasn't really better the other day. I don't think the offensive line was any different in that game than it was in the other games. The difference was they threw the ball far less frequently, like they did against Minnesota, and they were able to continue to do that against Minnesota because they didn't fall behind the way they did in this game. You know, Patriots only had the ball about 20 plays in the first half.
Right.
I think they were seven. I'm looking it up right now. They had Brady. They had seven rushes and 15 passes at 22 plays.
Yeah,
that's not that out of whack.
And I think that that's why they went with the personnel they did. You know, unless there's some injuries we don't know about, which I'm not ruling out. But I think the whole idea was ball control, move the sticks. You know, one step at a time. But they couldn't even do that.
Now, there's a couple of things that they did in the first half that I didn't agree with, and it had nothing to do with passing instead of running. It was on third and two, they ran the ball, but how? We're going to be in the shotgun. We're going to hand the ball to Shane Vereen.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Stephen Ridley might be a polarizing figure, But if you want to run the ball on third and two, give the ball to Stephen Ridley and let him run between the tackles and stick his head in there and move the pile.
Yep.
Shane Vereen's not going to do that.
Nope.
Okay? That, to me, is a ridiculous decision, and that's just reeks of overthinking things and trying to outsmart everybody.
Right.
Just like on the fourth and two on the play that you're talking about that Brady probably should have run, that was the play that they ran the offense on the punting team on the field.
Yep.
Then they try to trick everyone, run them back off real quick, get the offense back out there, and then Andy Reid called the timeout. If you want to go for it, Fred, just go for it.
Yep.
Why do you got to try to make sure that everybody's faked out on the play? Just go for it and get it. And you know what tells me that they're concerned offensively more so than even we imagine? How many times we punted in short yardage situations from the plus side of the field the other night.
Yeah.
It seemed like we were around midfield throughout the first half of that game, fourth and three, fourth and two. We didn't go for any of them.
Right.
And that tells me they didn't go for them because they don't think they can get them.
Well, I mean, on other nights it might tell you that they really, really trust their defense, but how could you say that from that night, you know? Dan at San Antonio.
Oh, and Dominique Easley didn't get pushed around. Dominique Easley
didn't do anything.
He was completely invisible.
He did
in that
nothing.
Game. And by the way, they've used a 3-4 in all four games. So, like, the two games they used the 3-4, they got killed. No, the two games they used Chandler Jones as a 3-4 end, they got killed. But they've used a lot of three-man fronts. They've used a lot of four-man fronts, but they've done both.
Dan at San Antonio, your analysis of Brady is spot on. He needs to clear his head and play like he's a rookie and for the first season with everyone. I think he has so much clutter in him that it's hindering his play and subsequently the offense. I really believe that. I agree with Dan. I just think that he needs some type of reboot. If you can possibly reboot a brain, I think he needs to do that. There's just too much clutter up there. But, you know.
I'm with you.
We had one, I won't name the name, but we have one media person, prominent local media person, proclaiming full-throatedly today that guaranteed Tom Brady will not be on this team next year. This is a this is an everyday.
I heard the same comment. Yep. I was with. I'm sure Andy told you the story. I was with Andy when the person said it.
Yep.
And I didn't get the impression that the person was dealing with any inside information or anything like that. Just an opinion. But the fact that we can talk about it and that. How have we gotten here? How have we gotten here with the quarterback? I never saw this coming. I thought he was in decline, Fred, but I never saw this coming. I think they got to figure out. They got to figure out some way to get something.
Dylan says, "Does Fred even hear himself?" And I quote: "I think however they play the Bengals is the team they will be for the rest of the year." Then he says, "If they get blown out, they need to rethink the team. So will this week's game be indicative of the rest of the year or not?" Yes. I mean, this game will be indicative of who they are right now.
What Fred is telling you is if they get blown out in this game, then they're just not very good. They're not as good as you thought they were.
Right. Me, the coaches.
Yeah, you being Fred in this case.
Right.
Not,
me.
Not the Royal
Absolutely. League. You know, I'm thinking that they are better than they played against Kansas City.
Well, I think they're better than that, too. But I don't know how much better. Because I don't think Kansas City is very good.
Yeah,
Kansas City was really good Monday night. I'll tell you that they looked awesome.
They look good, but how much of it was how much we made them look?
I don't know. You know? But I've seen Kansas City again. Now listen, Kansas City played a really good game at Denver.
Yep,
I will say that.
Yep,
they played Denver. You know, right to the final gun, and they had every opportunity to tie that game. But I don't know. Maybe they just had a bad game against Tennessee, losing at home to Tennessee to open the season. But they looked pretty good Monday night. I will say that.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, says, I was mentally prepared to lose, just not like that. God awful. I'm with you.
Fred was mentally prepared to lose too, but he still picked the Patriots to win in a blowout.
Sure. Stop with the merry-go-round on the O-line. This isn't camp preseason. Two, didn't know they gave out free tickets to Revis Island. Four, she skipped three for some reason. Why start four running backs and one fullback if you're not going to run the ball? Ridley's had five carries for 22 yards in the first half. Is it as simple as they can't even create lanes for establishing the run? Seeing Brady in the gun equals the line can't block, so let's the ball out quick. On a positive note, I thought the interior of the O-line did its part. Owen LaFell had a 100-plus game. The team that came back and beat the Broncos with less talent is nowhere to be found. This team lacks swagger, fight, leadership, and they don't play like a team. What did you think of Stork? I mean, he didn't embarrass himself.
I wasn't impressed with any element of the offense, and him included. I thought that he got pushed around a little bit in the run game, especially in the second half. I thought was jailbreaks in the middle of the line. I thought Cameron Fleming was really, really struggled. I know there were different guys out there, and everybody wants to convince themselves that it was better because they made changes. I didn't really see a discernible difference between the line in this game and in others. I thought the quarterbacks, and I thought even Garoppolo, when he got in there, was running for his life at times.
Well, let's put it this way. The play of Stork, he earned another start, I'd say.
That's fine with me.
You know, and by having
I don't think Devy is the answer, so I have no problem moving on to a rookie, a rookie draft pick.
Toby in New York, if there was a different name on the back of Brady's jersey, he would be benched. Reminds me of the 2005-11 Bledsoe. And those complaining about the lack of big play should realize that the Pats have been running a West Coast offense the past 6 years, at times with great success. The key to success has been going up-tempo. This gets Brady in rhythm and deflates the pass rush. Do we really need to huddle for 20 seconds so McDaniels could call a five-yard out? Let Brady call the plays at the line, and let's get some points on the board.
Is the point that when you run that kind of an offense, you don't get big plays? Is that what he's trying to say? The Patriots' offense hasn't been a big play offense for 5 or 6 years. Is that what he's saying?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think Kansas City's offense is? How would you characterize that?
Probably, you know.
Andy Reid is the coach.
Same thing.
West Coast offense, yeah. Okay? They had plays of 48, 33, 33, 27, 19, 17, 16, 16, 15, and 14 the other night. That sounds like a lot of big plays to me.
Well, they weren't over-the-top plays, though. They were bad tackling, long runs. You know, I think what he means is, you know, stop going for it and just...
They don't go for it. They don't ever throw the ball downfield.
I'm saying what he thinks the Patriots do, and I agree with you. They don't go for it. I don't agree with the emailer, but I don't think when he says big play, I think when
I'm talking about chunk plays of yards.
Yeah.
The Patriots don't get them.
They don't get them, but
I don't care if you're throwing the ball long, short, or indifferent.
Right.
They don't get easy yardage.
They don't get easy yardage because they're predictable. The teams aren't.
I don't think they have the personnel to get it.
No, but teams aren't worried about over-the-top stuff. They're not playing it safe. They're bunching in the middle. And like you said,
Dwayne Bowe is an underachiever of biblical proportions. Do you think he frightens teams a little more than Julian Edelman? Dwayne Bowe?
Did I think what?
He frightens teams a little bit more than Julian Edelman in terms of his physical ability.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, he's not going to go anywhere approach how many catches that Julian Edelman's going to end up with. This is kind of the basis of my problem with you and Andy's fixation on receptions, like the be-all, end-all. This is what I'm talking about. They don't have any ability to generate plays. Now, listen, when they had Gronkowski and Moss and Hernandez, then those guys could make plays because there was all kinds of space. But when that guy becomes the centerpiece of your offense,
it's true. No,
there's no space.
There's no space. There's no space. They have yet to figure out how to open things up. And, you know.
Because they don't have the ability.
Well, Gronk is not Gronk, and, you know.
And that, by the way, and I know I'm in the minority on this, I don't think that's going to change this year. I don't think that knee's going to feel better in week 10 than it did in week 2. You know, in an NFL season, taking the pounding that a guy takes, especially a guy like that, he's great. So he's still going to make some plays. But Tom Bahali running downfield with him on his hip was frightening to me. Don't you think?
Sure.
He's really a defensive end, Tom Bahali.
Yep.
And he was right with him.
Matt from Austin, I never wanted to believe Eric. He drives me insane, but he is correct when this summer he said Brady is declining. I believe Brady's decline is in his pocket presence. We no longer say, wow, I can't believe Brady just took one step and dodged a sack. Now it is, God, I hope he holds on to the ball. Damn you, Eric. So, let's see. Austin in Toronto. He says everyone needs to breathe. I've had a day to collect my thoughts, and as bad as that game was, I got to think it can only get better from here. I keep thinking about all the other 2-2 teams who didn't expect their slow start Pittsburgh, Indy, Giants, Green Bay, Chicago, Carolina, San Francisco, we're not alone. And I think it's reality in the NFL that there really aren't that many good teams. I still think we have the potential to be a good team. A lot of things have to improve, but it will start this week. The Patriots always win as a home underdog. I know this is a different team, but after that performance on Monday, there has to be a bounce-back effort. Everyone on the planet is going to fade the Patriots this week, and they are all going to crash and burn. I'm calling it now, 24-17 Patriots.
Stay on that email for a second.
Yep.
I want you to go back up to the part where he rattled off all the 2-2 teams. I want to ask you a question.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
No.
They haven't played the way the Patriots.
No. Read them.
Pittsburgh.
I would rather be the Patriots than Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yeah. Who would you rather be?
I'd rather have Pittsburgh. The way the Pittsburgh's defense is playing,
terrible.
Yeah, but they
it's a terrible defense.
But look at the effort out there.
I don't care. They're not good. It's not a good team. What's the next team?
Indy.
Who would you rather be, Indy or the Patriots right now? I'd rather be Indy.
Yeah, because what's the next one? Giants.
Okay, that's another one I would take the Patriots.
Toss up. Green Bay.
By the way, the Giants were supposed to be 0-4.
I know.
So
they've come back.
They're actually on the rise.
Right, Green Bay.
Who would you rather be, Green Bay or the Patriots right now? I would rather be Green Bay.
They're not doing that well.
Yeah, they looked pretty good the other day at Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago.
Who would you rather be, Chicago or the Patriots right
Patriots.
Now? Patriots. Yeah, it's a 50-50 toss-up.
Carolina.
I think Chicago sucks.
Carolina.
I think Carolina sucks.
San Francisco.
Who would you rather be?
With Belichick the coach, San Francisco.
I'd rather be San Francisco with Harbaugh the coach than the Patriots right now. They're a much more talented team.
Yeah.
Green Bay, Indy, right now, they're better than you.
Oh, right now?
Those teams are better than you.
Absolutely.
Now, the Giants weren't supposed to do anything this year. They were supposed to be like a 5-11 team, and that's probably what they'll end up. It's not a very good team. Pittsburgh hasn't made the playoffs in 3 years. I know everybody still thinks Pittsburgh is Pittsburgh. They're not. They're not good. They lost at home to Tampa Bay.
Simon in London, I meant to bring up this point last week before the atrocities on Sunday, but it's still relevant now. I mean, I think he means Monday. During the offseason, it was reported on other NFL podcasts that during the Denver Broncos golf charity tournament, Manning demanded to have his 3 new wide receivers in his 4 ball for the day. The analyst stating that it gave him more opportunity to bond and get on level terms with them. I'm not suggesting Tom hasn't ever done this, but don't you think someone needs to take him aside and say, have Danny and Aaron and Kimbrell over for dinner this week and bring Julian as well? Have a good cookout with some drinks for a few hours and maybe throw the ball around a bit. What I'm getting at is Tom looks far from the captain he used to be. Instead of blaming, he should be leading. To not high-five Jimmy after his first NFL TD is shameful. God. I'm hoping a similar thing happens to when Bledsoe came back and stated he would do everything to help his team. Perhaps Tom can swallow his pride and realize he has no entitlement to winning games and needs to work with his team to win. What did you think about that? A lot of people made a big deal that everyone high-fived Jimmy Garoppolo except Brady.
I don't think that's a big deal. The reason why I don't think it's a big deal is I don't have the information. I don't know what goes on behind closed doors. Because he didn't go out and high-five him in front of me means nothing to me. Now, if that's accurate and he is threatened by Garoppolo and snubbing him, and what we're seeing publicly is what it is, that's disgraceful. I agree with the emailer.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to blame a guy for something I don't know what he's doing.
But I think one of the issues, if that wasn't the case, if it wasn't an intentional snub, I think when Brady comes off the field, and whether it was a bad drive or in this case you're out of the game, I think he pouts.
He did.
He pouts.
There's no question.
And
there's no question.
I think he's very self-absorbed, and he's not thinking outwardly. He doesn't think about what his, dare I say, body language says to his teammates. You know, they're still trying to play.
And I'm not dismissing the email, because if it's accurate, and I'm not talking about if it's accurate that he didn't high-five him on the field after the game. I'm talking about if that's an accurate portrayal of Brady's feelings, then that's disgraceful.
It is. But even if it isn't, what I'm saying is he's still the captain. The game's still going on. You really shouldn't be sitting by yourself on the bench pouting.
Yeah. Yes and no. It's 41-7. There's nothing.
I know, but
there's no messages to be sent there. Now, I think it would have been nice if he went over and smacked the kid on the ass for, you know, good job, you know, congratulations, your first touchdown pass. But he didn't. What are you going to do?
Paul says, I'm sure there are plenty of Patriots Nation people on the ledge or off it at present, but this is a necessary step on the road. But is this a necessary step on the road to success? Do the Patriots, as well as other teams, need a certain amount of down years in order to be able to retool the roster with blue-chip players? Are we now reaping the downside of our success? After all, it's hard to get that great pass rusher or wide receiver when you draft continually in the last few picks in the draft. Thoughts, please. People are saying
really have to weigh in on
but
that.
I think there's a lot of people saying right now.
Hey, what was really bad the other night that was really eye opening to you?
Well, the defense.
Okay. How many first round picks they got?
But what he's saying is when you know those first guys, even when you move up, you're still picking in the high 20s.
Fred,
you know,
they're first round picks.
I understand that.
But I don't care if it's a first pick of the draft or the 20th pick in the draft. Those guys should be good.
But they should be good, but they won't be blue chip.
And yeah, they should be.
No, not necessarily.
When you have 7 first-round picks on defense, you should be good.
No, blue-chip players are in the top 10. That's
Fred,
when they come.
Don't,
it's true.
Don't cut them,
here's the thing. What I'm saying is a lot of people are saying that even despite always having
– Gerard Mayo was the 10th pick of the draft. He shouldn't be better than that?
I think Gerard Mayo's pretty good.
How about the other night?
I think he was one of – he played
– terribly.
Okay. But
I can't have it both ways. You can't get the ball run down your throat and then not blame the middle linebacker for not helping you.
I also think, though, that besides the draft, what people are saying now is they've got all this cap room. They can get these blue chip players other ways, and you know, through trades or whatever.
That's what makes it so easy to me in this era. Is there's so many different ways to acquire talent.
Right. So I think
it's let's not paint this out to be because we're drafted in the late 20s, so we can't be good.
I think a lot of people are looking at the cap space and saying, well, they could have gotten blue chip players other than through the draft. And I think that has people, you know, really upset right now, too, this cash over cap spending where the Patriots right now are very low.
Cash to the cap.
Yeah, well, they're very low at this point. And, you know, I don't know what the move that could have been made that they didn't. I mean, a couple years ago, I wanted them to take Abraham. They didn't do it. They, you know, could have gone a little extra on Sanders. They didn't do it. Not, you know, saying what the hell, paying Mankins, you know, his money instead of looking at that.
And I think those are
Tommy Kelly.
I think those are rational and realistic things to complain about. I don't think they would have given up 200 yards rushing the other night if Tommy Kelly was on the field.
Yeah.
And that saved you what? 600,000?
Right.
300,000?
Right.
Less than a million, whatever it was.
Yeah. Now, the Tommy Kelly one's a little bit more complicated, too, because it wasn't just them saying you're gone. He's the one that said to them, I want out if you're going to be doing this.
You read
the
quotes from the other
night. Yeah, yeah.
But so you know why.
Yeah, because he
had incentives. So that is on them. That's not complicated.
Yeah. But I can't.
If they had just said to him, Tommy, you're worrying about nothing. You're going to get those incentives.
Right.
You're going to play.
That's what they
He wouldn't have left.
But maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't.
Because they didn't plan on doing it.
Well, but it would have ended. Well, that's the thing.
He asked them to release him. He didn't say, I quit.
I, as a coach, I'm not making my playtime decisions based on your incentives. I'm never going to tell a player.
But that's what Tommy thought.
Right.
So you got to alleviate those fears. But if that's not what you're thinking.
But could they do that honestly?
No.
They didn't know.
That's my point.
If Dominic Easley comes on, you're not going to get as much playtime. I'm sorry. So I can't honestly tell him, I know you're going to get the incentives.
No.
I can't promise a player.
But you
that.
Can promise him that. I'm not taking you out for those incentives.
Right.
You're going to play. If you're out there and you're playing, you're going to play.
You
can promise them.
If
you perform, you'll play. That's the promise.
I don't think
they couldn't make that promise to him.
But I don't think they could also make the promise that you're going to reach your incentives.
No, you can't promise that. But you can promise that if you perform, you will reach those incentives.
Right. But
they couldn't make that promise to him.
How do you know they?
Because they granted him his wish, Fred.
Well,
if they thought that he would be playing plenty. And they told him that,
but
that would have alleviated the fears.
But see, that's where the thing is that they couldn't honestly tell the guy, you're going to make the incentive. You're going
to
be
playing.
I'm
not asking them that. I'm not asking them to promise that he'd make the incentive.
Right.
I'm asking them to say, if you play well, you will play.
Right.
That's all I was asking.
But
I'm not going to take you out if you're the best guy.
But think
that's what he thinks they were doing.
Right. But
they were taking him out in favor of a guy who wasn't as good as him.
But you got to get Easley time. You got to get Salinga in there. You got to.
Why?
Why not? We complained last year that these guys were playing too many reps.
Tommy Kelly?
Well, Tommy Kelly got hurt.
I wouldn't complain if they were playing too many reps.
Well, I mean, obviously, I can't honestly go to Tommy Kelly and say, I know you're going to play X amount. Obviously, if you're playing well, I'm not going to take you out, but I can't promise that.
But you can promise if you're playing well, you'll be playing.
But
you can promise that.
Depending on, what about other guy? What if Easley starts playing better and I want to play him more?
Then that's different. Then right. Tommy Kelly's not looking at it the way he looked at it in the summer. Easley wasn't even part of the
but
equation.
But is there any
then.
Chance that Tommy Kelly was looking at it incorrectly?
I don't think so.
I mean, the fact that they were taking him out in preseason and putting in younger guys who
at this
point.
We're talking about in the practice field too, Fred.
I know.
We're not talking about preseason games.
But you
got to
find out who's good. You have this young
we're
guy.
Talking about reps with the ones.
Right, but that.
And he wasn't getting them.
But so should he be complaining
All of
right
them.
Now? At this point, I mean, wait a
listen, game. If it's not anything, if he didn't have anything to worry about, why would they have granted him his release?
Maybe because they don't want guys on the team that are just thinking about incentives.
Well, then there's other guys that should be showing the door then.
But I'm just saying, with the Tommy Kelly thing, we all questioned it. We were all, you know,
but my point
mildly
is,
stunned
if,
that he was.
If he didn't have any validity to what he was fearing, why would they have released him?
I don't believe that this team would not forfeit, but,
I have no doubt that they
not
think
win
that
a
they
game
can get the
because
same thing.
They wanted to save $600,000.
See, it's not about saving $600,000 to me. This is why I think that I'm actually with you on the whole cheap thing. I don't think it's about that. I think they honestly think there's not a $600,000 difference between him and Silver Salinga or Dominique or whoever else. That's how they look at it. So they look at it and they say, well, if he wants out, well, let him go. We're going to get the same thing out of this guy. I don't think it works that way.
Yeah.
They do.
I think you're right.
I don't think it's about necessarily just the money.
I think the Mankins thing was mostly about the money.
There's not a $6 million difference between Josh Klein or Jordan Devie.
But what I'm saying is they would not have released Tommy Kelly if he hadn't been disgruntled. He'd be on the team right now.
No,
if he
I
wasn't
know.
Complaining.
No, I know. But you can't tell me they wouldn't be better if that were the case.
I definitely think they would be better.
So why don't you just sit there and say, Tommy, you're worrying about nothing here. You're going to play. You play well, you're going to play.
But I think what maybe, and we none of us know what actually they said or didn't say, but
no,
maybe
don't.
Tommy said, you need to guarantee I'm going to do this. And they said, well, we can't. We can't guarantee that. If you don't like the way we're using our personnel, which is our decision, not yours, we'll grant you your wish.
Yeah, and I think that's cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Well,
because you've made your team weaker.
I would rather not be dishonest with a player just to keep him.
I didn't ask them to be dishonest with him, Fred. Don't make it a semantic argument. I'm not asking them to lie. I'm not asking them to guarantee that he was going to get those incentives. You can't
but
do
maybe
that.
He wanted gotten, them to.
He could have gotten hurt in the second
right.
game.
Well, that's
you can't guarantee
but maybe that's what
it.
He was looking for.
Well, I don't think that was the case. I think he saw the writing on the wall and he knew what was going to happen to him. And I think that was going to happen to him.
I think I agree with you. I think he would have had plenty of reps. He would have hit those incentives. And I think if he honestly thought he was better than these guys, he shouldn't have worried about it. We all know in practice.
What if they said to him, you know, these guys are just as good as you, Tommy. You're going to rotate all the way through. Would Kelly be wrong to leave?
No, not at all.
Because I could see them saying that.
Well, I can see them saying, don't talk to me about how we use our personnel. We're the coaches. You're the player. I can see them saying that.
Yeah, I can see that too. And to me, that's being a big tough guy for no reason, and you cost yourself a good player.
Yeah, but
instead of telling a guy what he wants to hear.
But that's not right either, Paul, just telling a guy what he wants to hear.
It's not right if you're lying to him.
Right.
But if you really thought with the way you just said, it's just about, don't tell me. How to use my personnel? Then that's stupid.
Well,
you'd be a big tough guy. You got to be all in here. But no one's going to talk to me about how I'm going to use my roster.
Well, who knows what led up? I mean, you know, maybe it's Tommy. Don't worry about it. Then hey, you know, you took me out again in practice today. Yesterday you told me not to worry about it, and now you did it again. And eventually you just say, Tom, you just play. We'll coach. And maybe that was the last straw for him. And I could see a coach saying that.
Yeah. I think, again, that would be a foolish move for the coach. But, unless they didn't think he was better than the guys, I think it's foolish. If they thought he was better than the guys they were rotating in, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well,
that's not doing what's in the best interest of the team.
Yeah. Listen, we were all stunned when he left.
I was stunned.
I think that he could
help
this team.
But I'm less stunned when I found out why.
Yeah.
I was stunned when he got cut because I thought they just cut him because they didn't think they needed him.
Yeah.
When I found out why, I went from stunned to angry.
Yeah. But again, he didn't get cut. He was asked for a release.
He asked to be released.
Right. And they granted him his wish.
And they granted it to him, which angered me.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to some of the calls.
Let's get to the phone banks.
Yeah. Let's go to Matthew in California on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Matthew.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Matthew.
Tough loss, man.
Yep.
Really just disappointed with the team, but it happened. So, like, I got a couple points here. I've been waiting forever studying for the gossip. But this is, let's stop with the Brady. With the Brady, he's going declining. I know for a fact, from your guys' perspective, what's your point? Do you think 2007 Brady and 2010 Brady would have won or lost those two games we lost? Just from your perspective.
I think they would have won the Miami game and lost this game.
Personally, I would have probably thought they lost both games because I just don't see the way. I don't see the decline. I just don't really see it. And another point, and like,
so how do you explain the completion percentage, the yards per attempt, the touchdowns, and the turnovers?
Just the offensive line and the weapons is not around. You can tell he just doesn't trust them. Like he's not. He's just not.
Okay, then he's in decline then because he used to trust his personnel.
What happened?
Then he's in decline then because he used to trust his personnel, even when it wasn't even when it wasn't really good. Even when it was Fred Coleman in 2001 cutting across the middle in the Meadowlands on a huge fourth down play.
Well, we'll see about that. All right. And my second point is about Revis. Revis is just, it's very disappointing. I wore my Revis jersey on Monday. And on Tuesday, it was really bad. Got made fun of. And then still, but this man, like, this last year, what's wrong with Revis? Like, last year when Sleeve, with those first four games, looked like he was going to be, like, the defensive player of the year candidate. And then he got hurt. And then after that, even though when he came back from the injury, he still made plays. And I'm not seeing that from Revis, and it's very disappointing. And I don't know. I just want to hear you guys' point on that.
Well, I think that Bo handled him a little early. I mean, Revis was right there, but, you know, Bo's a good player. And
I don't think they've used him right.
Yeah, and Revis. Paul, you know, I thought that he was matched up one-on-one early, but, you know, Paul, he was playing a lot of
but
zone
too much,
later.
Too much zone. I agree with Matthew. I haven't been impressed with Revis through the first month. I haven't seen him do quite what I thought he would do. But part of that, I think, is on the scheme and what they're asking him to do. I think that they're not asking him to operate in his best manner, and that, to me, is locking up one-on-one and playing press man, and I haven't seen them do that a whole lot. Now, I almost look at a guy who almost looked, on Monday, he didn't look like he was really into it at all. I thought he looked like sort of disinterested in the game. I don't know if it's the zones. I don't know if it's not what he signed up for, or maybe he's a little upset about it. I don't know. But I kind of agree with Matthew. I've been a little underwhelmed. Yeah. He hasn't been a bust or anything, but underwhelming.
Very underwhelming. Yeah, I was wondering about this too, guys. How about this defense? The defense has too many just guys that they're just not enough core and good enough players on this team. For example, Chris Jones, Milano. It's hard
Patrick
to say.
Patrick Chung,
I'm gonna say McCourty, and the safeties are just
Logan Ryan and Patrick Chung starting the other night. They're just
those guys are good backups on other teams. There's just too many guys. I think. If we really want to change this the way this defense is, I think we should go to Carolina Panther route and just focus on the front seven. That's the way I see it. Because we've been relying on the secondary to be good and just not planned out.
Well, thanks, Matthew. I mean, I will say that it seems like last year and this year, every week, you know, we're going against, like, these formidable guys on the front, you know, whether on the linebacker or on the defensive line. And, you know, our guy was supposed to be Chandler Jones, but he's not there. He's not that guy that you have to game plan for yet, or I don't know if he ever will be. You know?
And I just haven't seen him take over games.
Right.
You know, even for short periods. I mean, you know, like the other night, Houston and Ali, they didn't dominate the game. But for a short period there in the third quarter, didn't they look like they had a big impact? I mean, the strip sack and that kind of play and – clearly, they went into that game with those guys in mind.
Yeah.
You know, one of the emailers earlier in the show talked about we're only sending two guys out. Well, why do you think that is? We're keeping an extra tight end to help. We're keeping an extra back end to help because we're worried about those edge guys. And I don't see other teams doing that to us.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Chad from Atlanta, I think that there is a strength and conditioning problem on the defense. I saw Chandler Jones, among others.
I saw this too. Hands on his hips.
With hands on his hips, sucking wind on the first drive.
Yeah, I made the same observation.
I'm not saying that this will end all of our defensive woes, but it's definitely an issue. Plus, there's something really wrong with Nate Solder, and I'm not putting all the blame on him. I liked him when he first came into the league, but maybe losing Mankins is taking its toll on him. I really hate saying it, but if Solder can't step up and fill the shoes of being an O-line leader, the team needs to find someone who can.
Interesting. The Mankins-Solder thing to me is interesting, and I don't think it's a physical thing. Andy poo-poos me every time I bring this up. He's like, oh, because Mankins isn't next to him, he can't block. Well, he's not. No, but I'm thinking there was a comfort level there that, you know, maybe it's subconscious. I don't know. But I think there was a comfort level there that he's lacking now. And I think they missed him. I think that, you know, I don't think that was a good thing if you're an offensive lineman. You just see one of your guys get dispatched like that.
Chris with a T-I-A-N. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. You know, just the loss certainly shakes you up. And I don't know where we go from here. You know, you can't go. I don't think you can go any further down. But I just, in all the years of watching the team, I've never seen him play that bad. And you know, the offense, Brady's playing the worst football of his career, no question about it.
Yep.
He looks awful, and he's my favorite player of all time. Pains me to say that, but it's terrible. He looks lost.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, Christian, I agree with you. You don't have to have a big smile on your face and puff your chest out and say, how's your boy Brady doing now? You don't have to be happy about it.
Yeah.
But if we're going to have a big boy conversation about it, we have to assess everybody. The offensive line has been brutal. We know that he hasn't had a lot of time. He hasn't played well.
He hasn't. And you
he hasn't played well.
You got to be honest with yourself. And I've never seen him make throws like that. Just, you know, I think he said after the game, you know, I was forcing that one in there. You know, that's just to me. And that one to Edelman, you know, Gruden on the telecast. Oh, well, Edelman stopped running. Yeah, I got news for you. If Edelman was still running, it still would have been picked.
Yeah,
and I
do agree that Edelman read that as a back shoulder fade and Brady threw it. But if Edelman keeps running, that same thing is going to happen. Yeah. Christian's exactly
same
right.
Same thing's going to happen. And you know, the thing that killed me was that they quit. And the offense, the offense is a mess. You got two wide receivers that you were counting on contributing this year, not even on the field. You got a running back in Ridley that you don't even give the ball to, just awful. Defense, I have no idea what happened. They're clearly targeting our best players. When they throw at Revis and they're running plays at Mayo, you're done. Like, they're taking your best players and they're going after your best players. And to me, that's alarming. That is, like, blowing me away, absolutely blowing me away. And, Fred, I know you just said, Bo, you know, he's not a bad receiver. In his heyday, Revis would have ate Bo up.
And Mike Wallace, too.
Yeah, and this has been going on since the first game. This goes all the way back to the Washington preseason game with this team, particularly on the offensive side of the ball, where you guys talked about the practice and about how they were getting beat on the offense just in the practice.
Yeah, the offensive line has been an issue. There's no question. Going back to those one-on-one matchups that you get to watch at practice when they're going against a different team, they consistently lost them in Philadelphia and in Washington.
And this is the biggest game around here in years for this team. They got anything left? They got any hopes for this season hinges on this game right here and them coming out. They could lose the game. But if they lose the game 20-17 and they gave it their all and this is one of the best teams in the AFC, I can live with that. But I can't live with what I saw Monday night anymore.
No.
Christian, what do you think if Cincinnati comes in and doesn't turn the ball over? Who do you think wins?
Cincinnati comes in and doesn't turn the ball over. Cincinnati.
Yeah, me too.
Well, me too.
I just, they're the better team right now, Paul.
Yeah. That to me is the scary part, is that I've sort of resigned myself to the fact that I think the other team needs to lose the game.
Yeah, like, you know,
that's how I feel. Big game. I agree with Christian the way he described it. Big game. I think unless the other team loses it, the Patriots are going to have a hard time this week.
Yep.
Huge.
Yep.
Thanks for the therapy, guys.
You're welcome.
Sorry we didn't brighten you up.
You know, this is a team that last year gave Brady fits, Cincinnati. And I don't know. They look better than they did last year.
They do, and I don't know how much better they are. I don't think they're better offensively than they were last year.
Yeah.
But defensively, they're healthy. They weren't last year. They're missing all their secondary guys last year heading into that Patriots game. They look like they're playing with some confidence, Cincinnati.
Yep.
But we'll see what they do on the road in prime time with Marvin Lewis.
Jeremy from Saskatchewan, I'm really disappointed in Brady this year especially. I feel like his attitude has changed. I have never seen him so aggressive toward his teammates like I have this year. That could be just because they're showing him on the sidelines more. This follows into the postgame, though. When we used to lose games, Brady would get to the podium and take all the blame, even if he played a great game.
That's Fred's point.
He would always say it was his fault no matter what happened. This year, he seems to be passing the blame off on the rest of the team. I love Brady, and maybe I'm just seeing what the TV wants me to see, but the attitude I've seen from him is more disappointing than anything else. What do you guys think? I kind of agree.
Fred, that's your point.
I mean, I used to make fun of Marino all day toward the end of his career because every time he'd throw an incomplete, he'd be storming off the field and yelling at a receiver. That's, to me, that's more he's mad at himself, but, you know, he doesn't want to show it. Guys,
this is the stuff we talked about.
Brady would never do that early in his career.
This is what we talked about last year, early in the year. Remember the Jets game on the Thursday night here?
Yep.
When he was screaming and yelling at Dobson the whole night, or the rookie receivers. I don't even remember which one it was. Yeah, this is stuff that we used to make fun of other guys for, and now Brady's doing it pretty regularly.
Right. That shows me that, you know, he's frustrated, yes, but he's not remembering who he is on this team, which is a leader. And everything is under a microscope when you're the leader. And he's forgetting that, and maybe he can't help it. And that's, to me, that's not good. It's not good. He needs some type of hypnosis. Something. It's mental. Let's go to Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey, thanks for holding on for over an hour. Thanks.
Oh, man, it's okay, man. Hey, just listen to you guys. Hey, I'm not a bandwagon guy, so I can wait it out. Man, being at the game on Monday, I was looking at the team in pregame, and, you know, they just didn't look like a team that was ready to play a football game. I mean, you know, they looked like a team that was getting ready for a great debate. I mean, you know, everything was so business-like. I mean, you know, you saw guys, like, standing around, you know, like having, you know, just really – You didn't see the, you know, the upbeat as if, okay, man, look, this is Monday night game, man. No, are we getting ready to line up? We're going to hit somebody in the mouth. And, I mean, you know, just looking at the guys on the sideline, you know, throughout the game, I mean, you look at the offense looking at the defense like, okay, oh, come on, guys, you know, let's make a play. Okay, the defense looking at the offense. Come on, guys, let's make a play. You know, instead of, you know, you guys saying, all right, look, we got the ball, let's score. Okay, defense is on the field, let's get a stop. I mean, and, you know, we just didn't see that. And, you know, just to look at this team, man, we look programmed, guys. I mean, we really look programmed. I mean, so, but, you know, that's all I want to say about it, man. Let's just hopefully, you know, we have a great game on Sunday night.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Trey. Trey in Memphis. Andy's here. What's going on? You just came from where?
The locker room.
Yeah. What
kind of locker room they got there?
Big one. Not a lot of players early. I did my PFW interview with Devin McCourty. Then had a long chat with Matthew Slater. You know, the only guy who's doing a really good job so far.
Thank God for him, right?
No, it was a lot of media in the locker room. Not a ton of players. The suspension guys are back. They did not speak with the media.
Do you think there's any chance they play right away?
I would say Browner maybe. Not Timms.
I don't think Timms, but I think Browner has a chance. I mean, they can't get wide receivers into the lineup as it is. They only need three. So.
Plus, if Dennard's still hurt and you put...
That was snark.
Right.
Dennard's hurt, you benched Logan Ryan, you had Malcolm Butler out there, you certainly feel like you could use Browner, right?
Yep.
And he's been with the team, so he's not... You know, the transition, not practicing, but he's been around the team.
So, I mean, physically, is he ready is what I'm saying. I mean, obviously you want to get him in the lineup, but is he ready?
I would think.
Okay.
Now, I don't know that it'll be seamless. As you know, I wasn't all that impressed with what I saw this summer. I think there's some debate about what he is. Now, the one good thing I would say, does that lead to just we're going to become more of a man defense? He's a man corner. Revis is a man corner. We're going to play man because he's out there. If that's the case, then get him out there.
Yeah. And it should help Revis, because I think that's what Revis is more comfortable with.
Be more aggressive up front because of it.
Sure.
And maybe that's why they haven't done more, because they haven't felt comfortable that you can't just play man and zone. You know, like
right.
Maybe they felt like the other guys they've had on the other side haven't been capable.
I'm back on board. Let's go.
What have you guys been talking about?
Well, no, we've been evaluating the whole thing and
we're at the quarter pole of the season. If there's a horse race, they take the horse out back and shoot it.
I mean, there's no one here that's, you know, everything's great. You know, everything is awesome. And, you know, a fair share of the blame is on Brady. There's no doubt about it. People are, you know.
Fred says it all comes down to Sunday.
I know. I like that. Put all your eggs in a basket.
If they don't do it Sunday, that's it.
Now, they don't have to win, do they?
No.
They have to compete.
They have to compete.
They have to prove, you know, sort of like the Broncos lost to the Seahawks, but everybody said, oh, the Broncos can play with the Seahawks.
Right.
They've shown they've improved, because the last time they were on the field with that team, they got blowed out.
Right.
This time
they did it in Seattle.
They went nose to nose with them on the road.
Well, that's the one flaw with it. You're at home. You lose at home, that is actually worse.
Right.
But Fred is not going to just completely write them off. So
of course not. I
said, he's painted himself in the corner.
He won't even stick with what he's saying.
No, I know. But the only thing that could happen is if they get blowed out, then he's sort of he has to reevaluate.
It's over.
I have to rethink.
No. He doesn't have to reevaluate. It's over.
I'm just telling you what he said. This was after he opened the show with a preamble about how they deserve our respect. They deserve us to stay behind them. The benefit of the doubt after the last 15 years. And then he said, if they don't do it on Sunday night, that's it. I go, so one game?
Heading into week 5, they deserve our respect and the benefit of the doubt. But heading out of week 5, if they lay down to the Bengals, they don't.
I have to rethink this whole team. Yeah.
What did you think about, is there enough protection and talent around you, Tom, to succeed? We'll see.
Well, this was a big thing that we talked about was he never used to do that. Well, he didn't have these problems early, but he would never do that early. This whole thing about between the lines, insinuation, instead of just saying, I need to play better and end the conversation. He's the captain of this team. And even coming off the field after that game and sitting on the bench and pouting while the other guys are still out there playing, I don't care what you say, it sends a message. And it's not a good one from the captain.
But he's never been through this before. I mean, this is different.
No, but it's true. It's true.
He's never been through. Not only are they struggling as a team, but people are wondering if he's done.
Right.
That has never been the case before.
That's true.
So this is different. And I thought the media went at him a little bit today. Alan Siegel asked him a question. What do you need to do better? And Brady started to say, well, we as an offense. And Siegel said, no, you.
Right.
And Brady laughed
it off.
The we part
is when things are good.
Right.
The I part is when things are
and
bad.
And somebody brought this up to me, a reporter in the locker room, and I said it's sort of the opposite of Drew Bledsoe. Remember, Drew, I've said in the past, I continue to say, as a quarterback of this team, it's my response. Like,
it's
and
exactly
people
what
got
Fred
sick
said.
Of it. People got sick of it.
Yeah, I said the problem was he had to say that it was my fault too
right,
many times.
Right. But this is a case where people, I think, are asking him to say it's your fault, right. And he's not saying it.
Right.
And I thought that was kind of interesting. And again, there's some TSN guy here who's like a little edge to him. This big, tall, like, I don't know why he's here or why he's going at Brady, but he's got a little edge to him.
Okay.
I made the point to Fred, because Fred's big on this, by the way. He's surprised that Brady continues to let this sort of stuff, the vagaries about, you know, yeah, well, we'll see. I don't know if we did, you know, we need to do this, but he just wants it to be old Brady, you know, right. Like, you know, I need to do it. And I said, you know what, it's even with the receivers, you know. If you're like Tompkins or LaFell or Amendola, you know, every time the ball hits the ground, it's my fault. I'm sick and tired of it being my fault every time it's an incomplete pass. It's not always my fault. And that's the way it's being perceived. So in that regard, he might need to just step up and say, listen, I'm not delivering the ball the way – he doesn't have to believe it.
Right.
He just has to say
it. I'm quite sure he doesn't believe it.
No, I know he doesn't believe it. Yeah. I'm quite certain.
When they're in private and practice, I have no problem him reaming out a receiver if he runs the wrong route time after time. But publicly, you're the captain.
Right.
It all falls on you.
And you're also the one most capable of taking the beating, taking the criticism, you know, the shoulders, put the earth on him.
There's not one person who – you know, is breathing oxygen, if Brady said it's all my fault, would say it really is.
Right.
They know.
Right.
Well, Eric.
They'd actually praise.
Well, yeah, okay.
No, but they would praise him for doing the right thing and being the leader.
Well, Eric said rarefied air anyway. I don't even sure he breathes oxygen.
That's true.
But I did think it was interesting. Very busy press conference. Now, part of that was the locker room hadn't opened yet, but, you know, so busy, Mike Reese has to sit in row four.
Ooh.
Mike Reese always in row one, center with his little folder, you know, asking questions. And you had a lot of guys wanting to go at Brady. Mike Giardi hammering him home a little bit.
Mike's really got to put his agenda.
He really does.
He's really got to put
away. It's unbelievable. He smells a little blood in the water, and he's trying to get his guy in there. He's like, now's the chance. Get Jimmy in there.
You know what?
Are guys irony? Polite, though? Were they polite? I hope they were polite.
Oh, yeah, for the most part. But
Giardi's not a rude
guy. Yeah, and Giardi was basically asking if they're seeing the same things. And, you know, the protection. And he said, you know, it seemed like you were sort of reacting to pressure that wasn't really there early on. And do you feel confident in what you're seeing right now? And a couple different times, Brady said, I don't really understand what you're asking. And you rarely get that with Brady where he says, I don't know. He usually pauses for a second and then just gives some sort of political generic answer that might answer the question. It might not. But he was very, I don't really get the question. I'm sorry. And a couple different times. And Brady said, well, you'd have to ask those if they're seeing what I'm seeing and different things. And Giardi came kind of a, come on, you know, like, and that was interesting.
Hmm.
But this is as much pressure. Bill gets it occasionally. You know, Bill had his press conference this morning with all the, I actually joked with Devin McCourty before we went on. I said, just so you know, about 10 different times this morning, Bill said, we're on to Cincinnati.
Well, we haven't
talked
about
that. So I'd appreciate
if
you don't do that in this interview.
He
goes, oh, you gave me my message. Nice.
We haven't talked about that, but we should.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah,
clearly,
you should.
Clearly.
What have you been doing?
You know, the message is, I don't want you guys talking about.
I'm talking about the team.
Yeah, right.
Unlike Belichick, we're talking about how to fix the problems.
You know, we've buried this ball. I don't want, and you know, he came out guns blazing this morning. We're on to Cincinnati. We're not going to talk about that. You know, which, hey, I have no problem with it. Why would you? Why would you have, I mean, knowing where he needs to come from.
He said he didn't want to take questions about the past or the future.
Yeah. Right.
What are we really here for?
We're focused on Cincinnati.
That's in the future.
Well, you know what? The now is Cincinnati. That's now.
We're going to put together a game plan, and we're going to try to execute it.
That's the present, Cincinnati.
Well, actually, the present is a press conference where you're supposed to answer questions.
Right.
That's
well,
the present.
Listen, I get that, but I don't care if he did that. But it's obviously that's the message is do not talk about Kansas City.
Well, the best part is Bert
as you
Greer
get ready
involved.
As you get ready for Cincinnati. Does Tom Brady have the talent protection around him? We're going to game plan, do the best we can to get ready for Sunday night. Same as we always do. Nothing's changed.
And nothing's changed with his response to what question.
So
like
all
that.
The questions are about Cincinnati, and it's we're on to Cincinnati.
You really think he's going to answer? Yeah, I really don't think he's got the
no, but don't make it out to be that the people are asking all questions about Kansas City.
No,
the
I
questions
know.
Were about Cincinnati that he was
say
saying,
I
we're
never,
on to Cincinnati.
I never
about.
Said
Scroll
that.
Down. Scroll down on that. I actually thought the most interesting one was when somebody said, you described the Bengals a certain way. What is your team or something?
Oh, yeah, you have to ask Marvin Lewis.
Right, he didn't hear the question right.
Wait a minute.
No.
I thought what are you talking about?
No, but he
Marty Schottenheimer once got bitch slapped by the quarterback because he talked about your team.
Well, he obviously didn't hear that question correctly because I he's like, wait a minute, that's not what the question
was. That was very strange to me.
And I also think that, so you talked for probably 500 words about how great Cincinnati is. I thought we didn't talk about the other team.
No, we always talk about how good
it's okay when we wax poetic about them.
Yeah, but that's nothing's changed there with him.
It's as good a football
team
as
we've seen. I know, he's always been a contradictory coach.
Yes. Fred, the biggest pet peeve of mine we saw again this week. When you ask him something after the game, he says, I don't know, I'm just off the field, I need to see the tape. And then in his conference call the next day, he leads off with, well, about what I said last night, nothing really more that I could add. You said you couldn't talk about it last night till you saw the tape. You've seen the tape, now you say you have nothing to add.
He's a master deflector.
He's a master something.
Yeah.
Do you think this is as much circling of the sharks as we've ever seen here?
Yes.
I do too.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's uncharted water.
Uncharted and uncharted.
That's a big pet peeve for
you. You know, without naming any names, we're not going to name names, but we had one prominent beat writer for the Patriots saying that guaranteed Tom Brady will not be on this team next year.
Correct.
You know, so
didn't know we were talking about that, but correct.
Well, that's exactly the way we talked about it.
The sharks are circling, absolutely.
Do you buy that at all?
What?
I don't.
That he won't be on the team?
That there's a chance. Not definitively.
I think there's a chance.
Well, I mean, chance?
Yeah. There's always a chance. I think it's very minor.
I got to tell you, I thought I was being bold when I said October 2015 would be Jimmy Garoppolo time.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to ask me if I think it, no, I don't. I don't think there's a very good chance.
No, I don't either, because I think he's going to turn this around and we're going to get back to respectability this year.
Wow, we're not at respectability this year.
No,
right now you're not.
Right now?
That was not a respectable performance.
Are you kidding me?
I know that. I'm just surprised that Fred thought that.
How could anyone look at that game and say, wow?
But that's one game.
Yeah, but like I said, what I learned from that game is that a 16-9 win over the Raiders is kind of the same thing.
Well, I've said I think this is the worst four-game stretch I can ever remember.
Yeah.
I don't. Now, maybe somebody will say, well, what about these four games in 2005 or something? I just don't ever remember. And it gets back to what we've talked about. When you get rolled, usually it's, you know, some quirky game plan or three turnovers or there's some sort of extenuating circumstance. None of that existed. You got your ass kicked. They had a running back who saw what they thought was the weakness of your run defense. They ran right at him. Then they threw short passes, made you miss tackles. Yep. There was nothing quirky or chancy.
Both games,
they kicked your ass.
Both games they've lost this year were kind of striking in that they weren't about turnovers.
But even Miami, you had the little sliver of the heat. You didn't have that in Kansas City. You had nothing. Right. They whooped your ass. And you didn't even have a million false starts. You didn't even have the excuse that the crowd killed you.
Right.
Nope. Nothing. You got your ass kicked. And for
I think you'd have to go back a long way, probably 2002.
Probably the Bledsoe era.
No, I think 2002 when they lost four in a row was probably I can't think of any time where it was consistent. Even when you win,
you lose.
You're not playing well. You know, they've had some games. You know, last year they opened the season with that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. The Buffalo game to open the season last year was the way Andy just talked about it. Yeah, they got in trouble. They could have lost the game. They had to win it on the last play of the game, but it was fluky. It was really fluky. You know, Stephen Ridley falls down as he gets a handoff, loses the ball, and a guy picks up and runs 75 yards for a touchdown, and all of a sudden you're in trouble. Nothing like that has happened in any of these four games to get you in trouble.
And I feel like
you've been in trouble.
You also,
in three of them anyway.
Generally, even in stretches of losing and adversity, had something you were good at, had something that you'd say, when it hits the fan, you know they can do this. They don't have that right now. And it's sort of like I said to McCourty, you know, the numbers say you're number one in pass defense, but I'm assuming you guys feel like you can get better because they're not the best pass defense in football.
They're still number
one
in that?
By no means. And he said, and he had the perfect answer, you know, certainly after going out there and allowing, you know, 250 yards to Alex Smith, we don't feel like we're the number one pass defense.
He said that.
Oh, yeah.
Bill won't like that.
No.
Oh, boy. You tell me I got him in trouble?
Well, I'm surprised that he would say allowing to Alex Smith as if to say,
he might not have said Alex Smith, but he definitely said after we went out and allowed 200 and whatever.
Well, to me, that was, you know what I mean? I
wasn't listening. I was thinking of the next question.
I think there's a little difference in that. You know, it's in other words, you know, if you allow 250 yards to Peyton Manning, okay. But, you know, we allow Alex Smith to throw for 250 yards against us.
Scott says, it's starting to become apparent to me that Tommy will be moved soon. This is right out of the Belichick playbook. For better or worse, Brady is for sale. And if you don't think that's the case, look at Brady's contract situation in Belichick's history. Kozar, Malloy, Bledsoe, Seymour, Mankins, and Vince would have been without Mr. Kraft stepping in. Get ready, boys. It's coming. The only question is when. I say it happens in the next 12 months. Bill has to prove that he is smarter than the rest of us. Any takers?
So does Alex Guerrero and TB12 just go to whatever city he goes to?
You know what'll be good, though? We'll have, you know how in the offseason sometimes we struggle? That'd be great. We could play the "Where is Brady going to be playing next year?" game in the offseason.
Great.
That'd be great.
Melvin,
have something to carry the show.
Melvin's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Sup?
Man, I'll make it quick. I'm kind of moving on from that game. I think from the last couple of years that I watched this team, I think the most discouraging thing for me to watch is just that it's the third down defense. I don't know if it's Bill drawing that up or players not in the right positions to make the plays or whatever, but I think that's it's sickening. That combined with the missed tackles, and it's like the same story every year with this defense. Like it's kind of discouraging to say that, you know, that just with Sterling Moore as our cornerback, feels the same as Revis. I mean, I thought we were going on the uprising. I think you have the talent to do that. Why are they not in the right position to make plays? I mean, this defense is sickening. Like I said, it really is. But moving on to Cincinnati, I just hope that this team, I've never seen this team like this. I've been, you know, I'm only just turned 27 years old, so I've never seen this type of adversity with the team, which is good because now I really want to see how they respond.
Yeah.
You know,
it is going to be interesting to see how they respond. It really is. From, you know, from an objective observer, you know, okay, let's see what happens with this team now, you know.
And one thing about this is just this sport in general, or sports, I guess, throughout our play to whoever, is something is really significant within that first, you know, those first couple of snaps in the series. Like, from a psyche standpoint, you know, does this team mentally feel like, because like I said, they look mentally beat. Mm-hmm. They're not.
Yep.
Do you feel like what that is? They need some confidence right now.
Yeah.
Offense needs confidence. Defense needs confidence. So they've got to really feel like that they can go out there those first couple of snaps and really compete. Because if not, you're going to be beat before the game even gets started.
Absolutely.
You know, you'll get steamrolled again.
Right.
But I just want this team to build some confidence.
All right.
They need to get it going, and that's all I'm saying.
Thanks, Melvin. Right, but, you know, it gets back to Andy's column. You know, there's a want to, and then there's a can't to. And, you know,
it's just can't.
Where do you derive that confidence from? You derive the confidence from seeing positive results. You know, so it's the chicken and the egg kind of thing, you know?
Well, it's sort of like, but it's also, you know, they've gone 3-and-out every game to start the game. And they've trailed every game 7-0 or 3-0. 3 7-0s and a 3-0. Like, I think they're trying to succeed on the first drive. I think they'd like to have a first down before right. they punt. But they can't right now. Now, you could also get into criticisms. I have been a little down on Josh deciding to go shotgun 3 straight passes to open up the last 2 games against teams that allow 5 point whatever yards per carry on the ground. But they haven't run the ball well either. It's not like you have Eric Dickerson in his prime in the backfield and you're not using him. I wouldn't say that's a strength of the team yet either.
Yeah, and I talked about before you came back, Andy, the other night, and I agree with what you just said, but even then, you know, 3rd and 2, okay. We're going to line up and run the ball, but how do we do it? Let's get in the shotgun and hand it to Vereen.
Right.
You know, why not just line up? Here's Stephen Ridley between the tackles. Move the pile.
Behind Devlin.
Okay. Even better. Go jumbo. Absolutely.
Just do it.
But we go in the shotgun and see if we can maybe trick somebody and then see if Vereen can make somebody miss and break a tackle, and he didn't.
Chris writes in, we all hope Miami was a fluke. The Miami game was the worst we've seen in years. It wasn't just a game lost on turnovers or mistakes. It was just bad football. We hoped it would be it would turn around. The last few games continued the same level of play, and KC confirmed it. Belichick is just slowly lowering the level of talent a notch with every little move, and now we've bottomed out. The only thing that can save this team is several trades before the deadline. We have no trade bait, though. Maybe Mayo for multiple players. Looking forward to 2016.
Who would trade for Gerard Mayo? Well, a $50 million
multiple
tackle.
Players.
Pittsburgh would, maybe.
No, I don't know. But what
would they give you for him, though?
Well, yeah, we wouldn't get any players. Unless they're never going to give up Antonio Brown, which is the only guy we want.
One of the best playmakers in football right. on either side of the ball for a guy who hasn't made a play in 3 years.
That's the only guy we'd be interested in, right?
I mean,
yeah, I think Pittsburgh stinks, but I don't think they would give you anybody.
I'm being dead serious here. What could you get for Gerard Mayo? Like, you listed him as a 4th-round pick, 3rd-round pick, maybe.
Yeah. No, I mean these people are talking about
they
getting
need players.
Players.
They need right. players back. So it's not about what you have as trade bait.
Right.
Are you willing to trade like a 2 for a significant player on another team?
Right.
That's what you're talking about. You're not going to trade a player for a player and get –
You're giving away your future basically for the now.
I don't think we have anybody on the block.
Are you willing to do that?
You know, that's what you're at. I mean, can we get a good, solid, you know, starting caliber guard for a 3rd-round pick or a 4th-round pick? I don't know. But Andy makes this point all the time when we talk on the pregame show. They've done a good job of identifying their needs and addressing them, even at the trade deadline. He's been able to do that in the past. I don't know if he'll be able to do it again.
Yeah, that was a little easier when you didn't have so many needs.
And the other part of it is...
like, what would you trade you for right
it,
now?
Are you addressing it with Isaac Sopawaga, or are you addressing it with Aqib
right.
Talib? Because both moves were very similar. You had a huge need. You needed to get a guy.
Oh, just pretend they traded for Salinga.
But even then... if that's the guy you bring in, is that fixing everything that's wrong?
No, but in all honesty, what would if you made that decision, we're going to make a trade to solidify our greatest weakness, what would you trade for right now?
I would say it would be a toss-up to me, but I would probably go with a really good guard. But, I mean, I might be able to be saying they need a big, stout defensive lineman like they did last year. Or they need somebody who Brady might actually throw the ball to. I would put that in the back burner because I don't think Brady will throw the ball to him.
I'm a little down on the whole guard idea.
They need to do something with that offensive line.
I know. But why is the guard going to make Solder good?
Yeah. Okay, a tackle? Would you say a left tackle, like a, you know, a good left tackle?
I think their biggest problem through 4 weeks has been the left tackle position. Yeah. I think you'd, if you had a good left tackle, things would look a little different.
Right.
I think it's the most unexpected
problem. It costs
problem,
you personnel on the field. If you have to spend extra manpower helping right. him out, you know, bringing in an extra tight end or, you know, chipping, it takes up energy. It takes up, you know.
He's a first-round pick in the prime of his career who you're going to pay $7.5 million next year, and he's in the top handful of problems on your team right now. That's a major problem.
Yeah.
And he didn't used to suck. He may not have been great, but he didn't used to suck. Right
not
now,
like
he
this.
Stinks.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Scar had the magic elixir.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's go to...
Don't shake your bleeping head at me.
I don't blame this. He's playing terribly. I don't blame this on the coach. I don't. I don't think the coach is helping anything.
Didn't they write anything down while Scar was there?
Scar was old school. He had them all in little index cards
right.
somewhere.
Videotape anything? Right. Didn't they know what Scar did?
Right.
Now, so you don't blame Gooch?
I don't blame him for everything. I don't blame him for everything like everybody else does. And I'm not saying that you are. That's
we sort of blame
I
the guy. I mean, it's as we've talked about, the two
I
things
I don't think
you
the
lost,
line was very good last year.
They
and
weren't.
They had Mankins.
But everybody's either picking the Mankins trade or the Scar retirement as like the major factor. I think that's part of it, but I think the guys you have just aren't playing very well. They stink.
I agree.
Now, and I give credit for...
I think they played very well last year.
But they were better than this.
Because they had a better player with them. The best player away...
I think they had a better coach with them.
They did. There's no doubt.
I think the coach masked the ineptitude.
I think there's some of that. I think that it would be better if Scar were here. I do. I think that he would be covering things up a little bit better. I think he would have more answers.
I also think they might have a starting five if Scar were here. Because Scar might have said, Bill... These are the best damn five.
Well,
we got to work through.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up.
I agree with that too.
You wonder. The other part of Skarnecki's title was assistant head coach.
Correct.
And we never really were clear on what that entailed. And maybe we're learning it was a little bit more than just a title. Maybe he did do things personnel wise for Bill that isn't being done right now.
Well, I don't know
because no one is now the assistant head coach. That's gone. That title is gone.
Right, but I don't know that it's so much. I'm not going to make a general assessment other than this is the offensive line. So your assistant head coach, your most respected assistant coach, was working with this group. So, yes, I think he would have a much stronger voice in, Bill, you're not starting two rookies in week 4. That's stupid. Or, Bill, we're not starting Jordan Devitt. He's not really that good. Or whatever. I think he would have had a stronger voice in those decisions.
Whatever the choices were, I agree with Andy's point that I think Dante would have said, this is the starting five, and this is what we're going to go with. And Bill would have respected that. Right now,
like, I don't think Dante would have said...
Gooch has the juice to do that in the first place, and if he does, I'm not sure that Bill was going to just accept it.
Right.
So I do think that... I'm not eliminating the coaching part of it. I think it's a huge thing. Listen, we spent the whole offseason talking about it. We all talked about it. We all thought it was an issue, right?
Yes.
So you can't back away from it and say, no, it's not really an issue. But... Solder has played poorly, and I agree with Andy that that's a part that you can't get away from, and that's about Scar. He's playing badly because Scar's not there?
Right. I can't believe that. I can't believe that. As much as I love Scar, I just can't say that, Solder lost his binky, and now he can't play left tackle anymore. I just can't go there. All right, Kevin, where are you? Let's take a break. We'll be right back. 1:39, we haven't taken a break. We're going to do that right now. We'll be right back.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go.
Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha! Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Here's another great moment in PFW in Progress history.
I got a Dodge disappointment. I have a new primary because my old one changed. And I had sort of an arrangement with my old doctor, you know. Like,
don't ask, don't tell.
You know, yeah, you know, like my cholesterol probably could use a little help. You know, and it's like, Paul, you really need to, you know, you need to lose a few pounds. And we had this sort of arrangement. We're okay with that. She knew that I wasn't really going to try to lose a whole lot of weight. But, you know, as long as I, you know, sort of pretended to make an effort.
Yeah.
Now I got to see a different doctor today.
Uh-oh.
And I'm afraid I'm going to get read the riot act.
She's going to say, your BMI is 72, sir.
Really? Based on our calculations here, you should be dead.
Right.
That's what I'm a little worried
your
about.
Your blood diet Pepsi levels are all off.
Yes.
Right.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
I hope you make it.
All right. Goodbye, Paul. Let's finish up. Yep. This is it. This could be it.
It was a privilege knowing you, Paul.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that, but it's funny, sort of, but like.
It's not real.
The whole thing in medicine is they want to catch things early.
Right!
He's got kids now.
He could find out that had they actually looked, he was dying 10 years ago.
Right.
Now he's got 3 months.
Like, no, yeah, I agree.
They kind of know I'm not going to try to do anything.
And isn't his wife a nurse?
Yes!
Yeah, she should be pushing him.
Yes.
I would be like,
I don't think she wants to know either.
No,
I would add stress to her.
I would be strapping him down and wheeling him in to try to.
She's given up. It used to be every February, she would put him on some sort of diet, but she gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just do like a very unofficial survey, like you go to a nursing home.
Yeah.
There are no fat men in nursing homes.
No, I agree with you.
It's just not. You don't see fat old men.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Finish this the right way.
Oh.
21 gun salute for Paul.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Aaron writes in at Web
Radio.
Yeah,
that was a very funny little bit until the end there. You guys got ridiculous. Like, no, it's funny, but it's not. You know, like there's like these real serious things going on. Like,
well, you wouldn't know it if you don't check.
I did. I went to, where do you think I went?
Now you went.
Yeah. Yeah, but you admitted you had a don't ask, don't tell policy with your doctor.
No.
He doesn't ask, I don't tell.
No. She used to tell me, you really need to lose a few pounds, knowing full well that I probably wasn't going to lose all that much. But what happened? When I went,
you lost some.
Pounds. I had lost weight since the last time I had been there.
Right.
So,
but sometimes
thing,
that's
like,
not
you know,
good either.
Well,
you know,
Fred, have I lost enough weight that it would be the not good
sickly.
Lost weight?
No. All right. Aaron writes in. I don't think Brady sucks. I refuse to think that, but it feels like the Patriots brass constantly put the team on Brady's back, and it's not fair. How does Bill expect him to do anything if he doesn't have adequate protection? The guy simply doesn't have time to throw the ball. Can we lose Solder and Devy and get some guys off waivers? And we're paying a subpar Revis $12
million.
And we got rid of Mankins for what? Tim Wright? Really? The guy's absolutely invisible on offense. Can we please bolster the offensive line now?
So am I to understand that next year, Nate Solder will make $7.5 million and Tom Brady will make $7?
Yeah, I don't think.
Is that the number for that? Option bonus? 7.
I believe 5. So. 7.487.
Like Brady will make 7. That is right. It's 7, 8, and 9.
More money.
And by the way, the emailer said, you know, it's not fair to put it all on his shoulders. I used to think it was when he paid like $25 million. You're the highest paid player. You get the most on your shoulders. But now he's run of the mill, middle of the pack in terms of pay. So it's not fair to put
it's
it all.
7, 8, 9. The last 3 years of that deal, right? 15,
yes.
16, and 17.
Nate Solder's gonna make more. All right, let's go to the
phone.
Big Al's in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Good afternoon, boys. Hey, do you remember the good old days when Big Al from Valdosta, Georgia was the only PFW caller that pissed and moaned about Brady?
I don't really recall, but okay. I remember you being one of the only callers.
You were the only caller that thought Tim Tebow could play.
Well, yeah, I think he could still help us inside the 10, but that's another argument for another day.
Yeah, we'd have to get inside,
to get
the,
inside
10.
The 10.
Anyways,
we had a red zone trip the other night. We got in.
I don't want to pile on the guy, but he has had a problem throwing a deep ball, and I think these teams that have the guts or the personnel to jam the receivers and just dare if a guy breaks free that Brady will miss him. The teams that are willing to roll the dice like that are the teams that beat us.
Yeah, no. And
probably everybody that has that personnel and has that willing to take that little bit of a chance.
Yep.
is going to play us the same way.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, teams are not afraid of getting beat by the big play, and they're willing to jam it. I think the Jets had that blueprint years ago, but they had obviously an exceptional defense. But now even middling defenses.
Or bad ones.
Yeah,
right.
Can
like,
use
like
that.
Like you faced the other night.
Right, can use that blueprint and be successful.
Now, the only thing that we about Brady that we probably won't find out until the end of his career, and again, I don't mean to pile on the guy, but not just the knee injury, but one injury that I believe that was serious that doesn't get talked about a lot, and we'll find out maybe later. But if you recall, when Albert Haynesworth souffled him in that preseason game in Washington,
I do remember that.
Just jacked up his shoulder to the point where he's just physically unable to throw any kind of an accurate deep ball based upon that. It used to be a joke.
He was always listed
as probable.
I remember that hit.
Because of a bad shoulder back in the day. I don't think it's a joke anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but I do remember that hit.
And you keep harping on the deep ball. I'm not sure the deep ball's been the only problem.
No,
the short ball's
been pretty bad. The decisions have been pretty bad.
Yeah.
And
I like the days when the deep ball was the problem.
And as Fred has pointed out, the leadership has been in question.
All right, Al, thanks for the call. Let's go to Marcus in D.C. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Oh, man. I hate to pile on again, but I think we're kind of all saying the same thing, but missing the key factor here. And it goes with the personnel decisions and everything. You know, I think at this point, I think Brady is just mentally not able to perform his job in the sense that he doesn't want to take a hit. He doesn't want to stay in the pocket. He doesn't want to, you know, stare. You know, he doesn't want to wait till the receivers break open. He wants to get rid of the ball too quick, and he's just not ready to stand in there and wait till the routes develop. And that's the reason why I have Kimbrell and Tompkins and Aaron Dobson out there, because there's no need for him. Brady's not able to throw the deep ball because he's not willing to stand in there and take the time to throw a deep ball because he doesn't trust the offensive line, which is justified. They've been playing pretty terribly, but I just think he's not physically able to do it. He can't take the hits anymore.
Listen, if
he doesn't want to do it,
if just not being able to connect on deep balls was the problem right now, I'd be happy.
And for the record, he says he trusts everybody in that locker room.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
even the ones he's never met.
Even this is why I disagree with Paul. I do believe the line did play better, especially in the first quarter. They gave him time to make throws, but he's seeing ghosts, and he's getting rid of the ball too soon.
And that's what Giardi was asking. Mike Giardi, okay. That's what the last two questions of the press conference, that's
thanks,
what
Marcus.
Mike Giardi was pressing him on.
I wanted to leave Marcus on. I just wanted to make a point. The only point I'm trying to make is, like, the protection was better, but we're talking...
At what cost?
We're talking about...
Is what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about six plays.
Yeah.
They had the ball for six plays in the first quarter. So, okay, he didn't get sacked in the first quarter. They didn't move the ball. They didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, they opened up with a screen, okay? Protection's not an issue on a screen, right? Then they had a play-action deep ball that you have lamented for 2 days now, Fred.
Right.
Right? To Edelman. And, you know, I wasn't making fun of you, but you've been talking about that play.
Right.
Okay, so they didn't. Then they had an incomplete short pass that Brady had to dump pretty quick. That he threw at the feet of LaFell. Then they get the ball back. They run the ball. Then they throw a short pass for 8 yards. Then they get a 6-yard run. And then an up the run for no gain. So it was actually 7 plays. They only threw the ball 4 times.
I don't.
So we're
I don't
talking about how great the protection was.
Right.
They didn't even have the ball.
Yeah, I'm not there yet with, the line had improved in that game. There wasn't enough evidence of that. And, although the only thing I say about that is I think Stork didn't do anything to not earn more playing time.
No, he should play again.
Yeah, he didn't poop himself.
But the other guy
literally
did.
Or figuratively.
The other guy did.
Oh, absolutely.
Fleming did.
Yeah, and Solder did.
Well, yeah. Solder got torched on that play by Talib. I mean, you know. Well, but
a little
bit of that, Andy.
Was Tom Brady.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have a guy that got the...
Sorry, a loud crowd, and you're allowing Tamba Ali to get a head start on me? That's
and
not
he
fair.
Did. He was on the move at the snap. He wasn't offside,
yeah.
But he was on the move before that ball was snapped.
It was like Canadian football. He had a running start.
Yeah.
Yep. Eric's here, and he just came from practice. What's going on?
Boy, that was the biggest waste of time I think we've ever had.
You didn't even get to see stretching?
First of all, it was a walkthrough in the Dana-Farber Fieldhouse.
Right. It is pouring out, by the
way. It was. It stopped pouring, but it's they were inside.
It's moist.
Two players had jerseys.
Everyone was bare chested?
Timms and Browner had jerseys with their numbers.
Did they not get the memo?
Everybody else was in their shorts and T-shirts. We were not allowed to watch all of stretching. We were kicked out within 5 minutes, literally.
Oh, they have gone into us against the world mode.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Right. But
wait,
at that
no
point,
rule for
at
how
that,
long you're supposed to be there?
There is kind
there
of.
There is. You're supposed to be there until team drills. Well, they didn't even get to drills. They were stretching. We watched them walk in, and we did our best to get attendance completed. Nobody did. Most of the players were there. I don't know. Honestly, he and a bunch of D-backs we didn't get. There was so many people.
Browner was out there, though. We got that.
Browner and Timms, we can confirm because they had their jerseys and we know what they look like.
It could be like, we just want you to get to know these guys. You might have forgotten them.
Oh, but I mean, I feel really bad for the media relations department because, I mean.
Really?
I do because it's not their choice.
No, I know.
You know, and everyone in the media was like
bitching
and complaining. Why are we even there?
Yeah.
Why do you even bother allowing us to be there for essentially?
Right. Who's
okay,
here?
And then get. Yeah. But we couldn't even see who was there.
Yeah.
And then you're supposed to be allowed to watch up to drills. There were no drills. They were stretching. They were running across the field, and they told us to get out. I mean,
just like that, get out.
No, but
could have shot you.
So anyway, those two guys. We saw in the locker room.
Yep.
We also saw in the practice field. That's really the news of the day, and the fact that Tom Brady was getting picked on by
the media.
What do
you think, Eric? I know the guys are back, but do you think realistically they'll play this weekend, either Timms or Browner?
I think realistically Browner could and probably will play. Timms, I think there's a chance only because if Dobson and Tompkins can't get on the field at the same time, then they really look like they're in search of a wide receiver, and he might be the antidote they're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one guy week to week before that. Then last week, two of them, both of them. Maybe they'll get rid of one of those guys.
I don't know physically if they're ready. You know, I just don't know what they've been doing. And
I'm sure they've been doing enough.
Yeah.
To keep themselves game ready.
They're not going to be ready to play four quarters and take that because you can't simulate that.
Right.
But you can simulate the rest. You could be working out. You can be doing drills, back pedals, you know, that kind of stuff. You're not game ready, but you're as close as you can get without playing in games.
But I'd say at least one, if not both of them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's probably a good chance for Browner.
TG and NJ writes in, is the media piling on? You guys mentioned sharks in the water. It seems now that the team sucks, the media can ask hard questions and feel justified in their anger when they don't get the answer they want. After years of non-answers and not being able to protest because winning cures everything, do they feel like they can now pile on and demand answers? Bill, your team sucks. What are you going to do about it? What do you expect them to say? Bill has always said it comes down to players, and the players are just not that good. Just don't trade Brady in the division. No offense, Paulie. Paul's not listening.
Does that mean we want to trade him?
He's making fun of how they traded Bledsoe in the division.
Oh.
So when they trade Brady, don't trade him in the division. It's a joke.
I get it.
Okay.
I thought he was making fun of...
Anything good on that Twitter box you got there?
No.
No?
Okay. I thought he was making fun of the fact... Because I don't want to trade Brady. I thought he was making fun of me for holding on to Brady.
You don't want to trade Brady?
No.
How come?
Because I don't think they have anybody better than him.
No matter what
Just
you
like
could
I
get?
Just like I didn't want to trade Mankins.
No matter what you could get.
Well, can I get a quarterback?
No.
Then no.
Just draft picks.
No, because I think the quarterback is too important.
So three first-round picks, you wouldn't trade him.
Now, you know what? I might.
I would.
I might change my. Well, they're not going to get.
Tom.
Forget three.
Peace.
I mean, they're not getting three first-round picks for him. Can we assume that?
I would assume that, but I don't know.
So, I mean, yeah, I would
if
trade.
Carson Palmer got two.
I would trade him for three first-round picks. Yeah, and they got skewered from pillar to post for that. So you think someone's going to give you two for him?
It's because he's Carson Palmer and he hasn't been good in a decade.
But it was also Oakland.
Right.
But things can change, by the way the rest of this season unfolds. If this is just what it is, and they're just not very good, and Brady doesn't snap out of it at all, then I might just say, well, you know what? Let's start the rebuilding process. Let's see what you can get for Tom. Give the ball to Garoppolo, take your lumps next year, and move on with it. but I don't think that's going to happen. I think that they'll get better. I don't know how much better, but I think they'll get better, and Brady will have to be better than this.
Pretty much a lock they're going to get better.
Right.
Oh, I'm glad you guys think that.
That wasn't necessarily like
wasn't
a positive.
Compliment.
That was a you can't get much worse.
Couldn't be much worse. Yeah.
A backhanded compliment.
But they could stay. What if they stay the same? You know, they could, you know, that's just as bad if you ask me.
Oh, no question.
Yeah. All right. John Rooks here for the playbook. This one's a fast 2 hours.
Gee, really?
Yeah.
I can imagine.
We still got a stacked phone line for you, John. People still want to vent in tons of emails that we didn't get to, so I'm sure you're going to want to try to get to those, right?
Absolutely.
Anybody else coming on the show? Not that you need anyone.
Actually, yeah. Eric Friends from Boston.com is going to come on and join us. We'll also begin to kind of turn the page in the second hour of the program, since we'll kind of merge Nitpick Tuesday with a Wednesday today.
Yep.
And we'll turn the page and look at the Bengals as well a little bit later on the
show. Have you come up with a name for your Wednesday shows yet? I know you were having
Kevin and I really haven't had a chance to discuss this yet. Well, we have two leaders in the clubhouse, so perhaps we'll have that decision before the end of the day and announce the winner.
Okay.
And somebody will claim a yearbook out of it.
Sounds good. All right. John Rook in the playbook. Then the fantasy guys will be here at 4 o'clock. Full day on Patriots.com. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.